Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
I'm certainly thankful that you're tuning in to Words of Grace today, and I would love to hear from you. If you're a radio listener or a listener over the internet, you can send us a letter by addressing that to Words of Grace, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. Or you can also go to our church website found at flintriverpbc.org, flintriverpbc.org, where you can email us, find our phone number to call us, and you can also find information about our social media accounts. If you go to our website, you can follow us on Facebook and follow March to Zion on Twitter or YouTube, and keep up with everything that's going on here at Flint River Church and among the Primitive Baptist in general. We'd love to hear from you, so please take the time to write us this week and let us know that you're receiving the broadcast. Today on Words of Grace, we want to consider a question: what do the rewards of God look like in the life of a child of grace? To give you the backstory behind this question, recently I was enjoying a sermon at a local meeting, and the speaker quoted from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And as the speaker, the preacher, quoted this text, I was made to begin thinking on this subject. And I confess to you that for just a moment of time, my mind drifted away from the sermon that I was hearing presently and drifted into the area of God's rewards. And that's something that we want to speak to you about today on Words of Grace. Specifically, what does it look like when God rewards a person? Or perhaps expressed differently, what does it look like when God rewards you? What do God's rewards look like here in this world? Now, immediately, our minds probably go to things that would be pleasing to the flesh, things that would be pleasing to us just as human beings. You might think that being a wealthy person is to be rewarded of God, and to be rewarded of God is to be a wealthy person. You might think that fame or celebrity status, notoriety, is something that could be a reward of God. You may think that a life of ease is one that is indicative of the rewards of God. But we should understand that when Scripture presents the rewards that God gives His children, wealth is not one of those things, nor is celebrity, notoriety, nor is a life of ease. In fact, many of God's children have lived very complicated, challenging, even to some of us, it would be considered discouraging lives. And yet, at the same time, those lives were full of God's blessings, or that is to say, God's rewards. Now, to be clear, sometimes God does bless one of His children to be wealthy as they live in the world. Abraham was a very wealthy man. Job was a very wealthy man. But when we consider spiritual blessings, things that God rewards us with, we shouldn't think that special rewards from God are in the area of wealth or financial prosperity. I don't want to discount the concept of the providence of God today. We understand that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. We know that He makes His sun rise on the just and the unjust, and His providence is a faithful creator. He makes the rain fall on the good and on the evil. We all enjoy life in this world, the fruit of our labors. God, in a general sense, blesses us with His providence. He gives us food and water, and we have life through Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. But while that's true, today I have reference to a very special type of God's rewards when He rewards the faithfulness of His children, not merely His providence, not merely the hand of the diligence making rich or the blessing of God making rich, but something very distinct and very special that we can extract from this chapter in which we find this verse, Hebrews 11:6. Also want to give you the other side of the coin. Paul warned Timothy against the error of thinking that gain is godliness. And he warns people not to seek after uncertain riches. While we want to make a living and we want to provide for ourselves in the world, and it is our responsibility, men, from Eden all the way to now, to work by the sweat of our faces, to provide for our families and to provide for ourselves, we should never be deceived into thinking that financial prosperity equates godliness. That's a theological fact that I believe would help many Christian financial ministries in today's time. A person who is wealthy and Christian is not necessarily more holy or upright as a disciple than a person who is impoverished and Christian. In fact, some of the most strong people I've met in the faith have been people who didn't have a whole lot of financial things in this world. So with all due respect to financial Christian ministries, gain is not godliness. To be in a position where you, quote, build wealth doesn't make you more holy than someone who doesn't make it their life's goal to build wealth or to accumulate a lot of wealth to survive off of in a nest egg. In fact, Jesus would warn against heaping treasures for ourselves in the world. That's a teaching that you don't find as common in American ministries today. We should use what God gives us to the benefit of those that are around us, those that cannot take care of themselves, rather than just heaping treasures for ourselves for the last days. Those are things that Jesus cautioned us against. And if we want to be followers of Jesus indeed, then we need to obey even the things that Christ taught that are not necessarily in agreement with what is taught around us in American Christendom. I think so many times we find ourselves in the American flavor of Christianity, like the church at Laodicea, in the first century. And Jesus spoke to them and he said, "You're lukewarm. You say that you're increased with goods and have need of nothing. And yet at the same time, you're naked and miserable and blind and poor. And I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to cast this church away from me and away from my body. You will cease to function as a church if you don't repent of this apathy and this lukewarm attitude as you sit there in your pomp and your wealth and your ease." So sometimes wealth can even be a handicap for someone who wants to live as close to Christ as possible. Now, again, God bless many of his children in the Bible to be wealthy, and perhaps he reserves that for disciples who can genuinely handle it and be a good steward of it. But we should never confuse gain with godliness, as Paul wrote to Timothy. We should be appreciative of what God blesses us with, however much he blesses us with. And we should be good stewards of what God blesses us with. But today I want to steer your attention towards true blessings, blessings that are spiritual, blessings that God rewards his children with when they walk in and by faith. Now, as we consider this, our passage, Hebrews 11:6, we should understand from the beginning that this passage occurs in the midst of a very specific context. And you might be surprised as to the nature of the true rewards that God grants his children when they walk by faith. Again, many times our mind would go straight to wealth or prosperity or ease, and yet the rewards that the writer of Hebrews writes about in this chapter are things that we might actually not even consider to be God rewarding his children. So you might find some of this as a surprise. A final word up front before we begin looking at the nature of some of these blessings. From the get-go today, you should understand that salvation is not a reward as it is not earned in the way that we generally understand a reward today. A reward is something that we earn. You might see that a reward has been offered for information regarding the commission of a crime. Perhaps a soldier is rewarded for his valor and bravery on the battlefield with a medal. You might be rewarded at work with a large bonus because of something that you accomplished throughout the year. Rewards are things that we earn. So the first thing I want to share with you today is that salvation is not a reward because salvation is not earned. Salvation is a gift that is by grace. So as we understand rewards today, understand that these, first and foremost, are things that take place after the salvation of a man or a woman. We're not rewarded with heaven and immortal glory for things that we do here in this world. Salvation is by God's unmerited favor. The rewards that we wait for in heaven, that we long for, that we yearn for, were earned by Jesus Christ himself. So salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift. There's a great difference in a gift and a reward. So those thoughts aside, looking at this verse in specific, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Two thoughts that we want to consider from this verse before looking at the nature of God's rewards. And that is, number one, without faith, there is no pleasing God. If a person does not have faith, there's absolutely no way that that person can do anything that is pleasing to God Almighty. Now, understand that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Faith is the byproduct, then, of being born of the Spirit. It is of the operation of God in the book of Colossians. God operates on you. The operation of the Holy Spirit sparks faith in the heart of a child of God. It is dealt to us according to Romans chapter 12. It is a gift of God according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, even the result of the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, Ephesians 1:19. So faith is of a supernatural origin in the child of God. If you have faith, it is because you have been born of the Spirit of God. Whosoever believeth is born of God and knoweth God, 1 John 5:1. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. So without faith, it's impossible to please him, and no one has faith unless they're born of the Spirit of God. And to do anything that pleases God, we have to do that by faith, which tells me that as a person who I trust has been born of the Spirit of God, a person who believes in God and believes in Christ, even I, to obey God, must do what I do in His service by faith, or what I do in His name is not even pleasing to Him. I can, as a person who knows God, do something for the wrong motive or not from a pure heart, and I will not have the same blessing, nor will it be as pleasing to God as it would be if I simply did what I did by faith. So, without faith, it is impossible to please God. To do anything pleasing to God means it has to be done by faith. And as we know, faith is, again, the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. We have faith because we are born of the Spirit. We're granted faith at the new birth. One of the greatest definitions of faith that I've read in older writings is found in the writings of at least two old Baptist ministers, one, James Oliphant, and two, Elder John Leland. And in the writings of both of these men, I've read the quote that faith in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So faith in a man is literally, as we read in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Faith in a man is Christ in a man, the Spirit of His Son taking up residence in our heart, crying, Abba, Father. And that cry of the heart is in and of itself faith that is sparked in our hearts when we're saved by God. So number one, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And number two, any pleasing thing that we do is done by faith. This ties in a passage that the Apostle Paul quoted often from the book of Habakkuk, and is simply this, the just shall live by faith. Many times people read that and they think the just shall become just by faith, but that doesn't say men become just by faith, nor does it say that the just shall come to life by faith, but rather the just shall live by faith. From the moment of your salvation, God calls on you to live your life by faith in Him. The faith is given to you by Him, and we are to actively put that faith to use in our life and walk by faith each and every day. The just shall live by faith, and anything we do that pleases God is to be accomplished by the faith that He has given us. Now, as we consider the concept of the rewards of God today, I want to specifically look at the blessings that God gave His children by faith in this chapter, because Hebrews 11:6, after all, is in the midst of this particular chapter. And so whatever we read on each side of this verse is directly contextually applied to this principle. This gives me the great opportunity to briefly mention a very important biblical principle. When you study the Word of God, you have to take the context. So many times throughout Christian history and even today, the Word of God is taken out of context. And if you go to the Word of God with the mindset of picking out Scripture with no context, you can use it to prove just about anything. But we are to take the Word of God as it was intended, based upon the context, the author, the audience, the setting, the language, the statements made before and after, and the sound theology presented by that writer in other places, including the source material itself, in this case, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, to determine exactly what's being discussed. You might look at context as a fence that is placed around a scripture to keep yourself from leaving beyond the bounds of what that writer intended his words to be used to say, to keep you from going beyond what the Holy Spirit intended for you to know through the writing of that particular inspired writer. So context is so very important and so often overlooked in our present day and age. The rewards in this chapter are what you might call the blessings that God grants by faith, or blessings of and in faithfulness. Blessings of faithfulness, blessings in faithfulness. Now let's look specifically at the list. If you're familiar with Hebrews 11, you know that this is the honor roll of faith, things that men and women have accomplished by faith. And I would submit to you that as we're considering God being a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, what the writer has in mind chiefly are the types of deliverances and providential blessings that he mentions before and after this passage here in Hebrews chapter 11. So when we want to put a definition or a picture on to the concept of God's rewards upon his children, we should look at the remainder of this chapter. So let's begin doing that. For by faith, verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. One of the rewards that God can give you is that you obtain a good report by faith. You obtain a good report by faith. And so one of the blessings, one of the rewards of living by faith is obtaining a good report. Scripture speaks in the Proverbs about the blessing of having a good name, that it's far above the price of rubies. We should endeavor to be people who have a good name in the community and in the household of faith. Obtaining a good report, then, is one of the blessings that we have for living by faith. That is one of the rewards that God gives those that diligently seek him, a good report. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. What did Abel receive as a reward by faith? Well, God blessed him with offering a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he served God, and he was rewarded in that his worship was accepted by God. Now, there's a great blessing in that. Many people don't understand today, but God expects worship in spirit and in truth. It matters how we worship. It matters what we believe about God when we worship. And Abel was blessed with, first of all, the ability to please God in worshiping him. God received his worship as a reward. He rewarded him by receiving his worship because this was offered by faith, and he received testimony that he was righteous. What a blessing is it when you receive testimony from God that you are indeed a righteous person? That is a great blessing. That's the assurance of your salvation. And it's a reward that God granted him when he worshiped God by faith. Continuing, Noah was warned of God, of the upcoming flood, the vengeance and the wrath of God upon men, according to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. How did he do that? He did that by faith, and he saved his house. He was given the, quote, reward, if you will, of the forewarning of God that God was going to judge the world. He found grace in God's eyes. What sparked all of this? Well, Noah found grace. He wasn't one who had earned his righteousness. He wasn't righteous in and of himself, but he found grace in God's sight. And God rewarded him by warning him of the things that were going to come, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed herself. Sarah was rewarded by God with Isaac, as she received strength by faith to conceive. Verse 23, Moses was hid when he was 3 months old of his parents because they acted on faith. His parents, not Moses, but Moses' parents acted by faith, on faith. They acted with the faith that Christ had given them, Christ in them, the hope of glory. And they hid Moses in an ark. They put him in a basket. They floated him down the stream, because Pharaoh was slaughtering all of the Hebrew boys, and lo and behold, God in his providence rewarded their faith and blessed them with Moses' life being preserved, and not only his life, but even the ultimate deliverance of the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage some 80 years later. All of that because a man and a woman, fearing the repercussions, brave enough to stand in the face of Pharaoh, acted by faith, and God rewarded their efforts. He blessed their efforts, in other words. I hope you're seeing the biblical picture. Another example from verse 31 is Rahab the harlot. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace in Jericho, when Jericho was overthrown by the nation of Israel as they were going into Canaan's land after the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Rahab was rewarded with the preservation of her natural life and the blessing of living with the nation of Israel, and even being one of the descendants, and even being one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus himself in his genealogies. Why? Because by faith, she received the spies and she was rewarded for what she did. Verses 33 through 35 of Hebrews chapter 11, we read about people who by faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the invaders, that is to say, of the nation of Israel. They did what they did by faith. God sees that faith. He sees that action. He sees that trust, and he responds by rewarding their diligence with things such as escaping the violence of fire or the edge of the sword or being strong when they were weak or waxing valiant in fight or repelling armies of invading countries. So to summarize, as we come to the close of today's broadcast, what does it look like? What do the rewards of God in the life of a person look like? Well, the rewards of God that the writer of Hebrews has in mind in Hebrews 11:6, again, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They don't look like wealth, and they don't look like a life of ease. They don't look like a life without cancers or health problems. To be rewarded of God doesn't mean that you go from conversion to the deathbed through life unscathed, never damaged or harmed by this world. What it does mean is that God blesses you when you live by faith, when you trust him, when you pursue him tenaciously. He blesses you to experience a life of close fellowship with God, even in the middle of your trials. He blesses you with deliverance. He blesses you with salvation from the issues of this life, from the negatives of life here in this world. He blesses you with sustaining providence. Reading the summary in verses 33 and 34, those people didn't go through life without a trial. To live a life that is rewarded of God doesn't mean that we go through this life with no trial or tribulation. Think, to repel invading armies meant that armies had to invade them, and to escape the edge of the sword means that someone must have pulled the sword on them. To have fire quenched to escape the mouths of lions must mean that fire or lions attempted to destroy these saints of God. It doesn't mean that life is easy. It means that when life is difficult, because you trust God so, he blesses you with his providence, with his fellowship, with his upholding hand, with providential deliverance. Each and every day, in every new trial, you stand by the strength of Christ who lives in you. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I look forward to hearing from you soon, and again, I invite you to write me and let me know that you're listening to the broadcast. Again, I'm Ben Winslet, thanking you for listening to Words of Grace today, inviting you to tune in again next week at this time. Until then, may the Lord's richest blessings be yours, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.